Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Mark, reading verses 9 through 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart, and the Spirit descending like a dove on him, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, good morning again. Welcome to the first Sunday in the season of Lent. I always make a Facebook post on Saturday mornings when I'm preaching on Sundays. So yesterday I said in that post, "Tomorrow is the first Sunday of Lent." And went on to say, "We're doing communion, etc." And then I scrolled down a few pages and I saw that a clergy friend of mine had posted a still photo from the first Harry Potter movie, the scene where Hermione has her wand out and is correcting Ron Weasley and Harry about how to say Wingardium Leviosa. But instead of that, my friend had her captioned in big white print, "It's not the first Sunday of Lent, it's the first Sunday in Lent." And so I realized immediately that I had made that exact mistake in my post. So I scrolled back up and edited it to say, "Tomorrow is the first Sunday in Lent." So thank you, Hermione. But it goes to show you my really meager background with the season of the church year we're in now, Lent. The word actually comes from the word length, as in the lengthening of days. It just means that now we're past the middle of winter and the days are growing longer, which, now that I think of it, is only true in the Northern Hemisphere. But that's where all this cranked up and began, I believe. So, but I have to say, with apologies to my parents and my childhood pastors, that I honestly don't remember much about celebrating Lent growing up. Not that my childhood church didn't have the purple vestments or didn't talk about Lent. They probably did all that, but I don't remember it. Probably the biggest influence on me getting with the program was marrying Annette, who was raised Catholic, where Lent was very important, and we made sure that our kids knew about it. Everybody in our family gave up something for Lent each year. At first, I made a joke of it. As a non-smoker, I announced that I gave up cigarettes. As not a heroin addict, I announced that I gave up heroin. But finally, I conformed, and one year I actually gave up something that I really cared about, which was chocolate. And then I saw the wisdom of the season of Lent. First, I noticed that as soon as you give up something, you immediately start wanting it. Like the day before I gave up chocolate, I didn't think it would be too difficult. But once it's forbidden, suddenly it becomes really essential and desirable. I started to crave chocolate during Lent. And secondly, because of that first thing, you really do look forward to Easter Sunday when you give up something for Lent. You seriously count down the days when you can eat a candy bar again. And that has a certain value to it, don't you think? Looking forward to Easter, even if it's more about getting back what you gave up than it is about celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving up something for Lent makes you acutely aware of exactly when Easter is coming. So I got to say that today, the first Sunday in Lent, I think that I need it to be about more than giving something up this year. This Lenten season seems different for me from all the others we've had previously. With the COVID pandemic, it is darker and drearier somehow, and I don't think it's totally on account of the enormous amount of rain we've been having. I happened across Kate Bowler's Instagram post. You might remember her book, Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved. And here's what she said Wednesday morning, the first day in Lent. She said, quote, "I hear this from a lot of you. Why should I do Lent when the pandemic is already Lent forever? Like I already live in the place of not enoughness. I'm already hyper aware of the rage and sorrow and general apocalypse that we live in. So why do I have to do it any more than I'm already doing it? Also, in related news, there's not enough. I'm still not a great homeschooling instructor person who keeps a fabulous tone of voice even while irritated. Zoom communicator and email doer at the very best. Those are just not apocalyptic problems. How do I be here now that I'm exhausted? Because we've been stripped down to nothing now. I mean, some of us far more than others, but there's just that constant feeling that if there was extra, it's just not this. Lent is that. Lent is sometimes, for some people, a season. For the earth now, it's a plague. It's a series of years that cycle through that we just haven't had in modern memory. For others, it's an event. Lent is what they walk through when they have a before and an after. But sooner or later, we all get here to the place where there is not enough. Unquote. Seriously. What are we to do with Lent this year? What are we to think? Maybe it really is too hard to give up something this year after COVID has already taken so much from us. Our gatherings at church or with friends, hugging those we love, having dinner in a restaurant, going to a movie, or going to the gym. That's enough, I think, to give up. Plenty has been taken away already. So, if not that, what are we to think this year? What are we to do as we prepare for Easter during the season of Lent? Well, today's scripture has an answer to those questions, and there are two things I want us to see this morning, both in our text and in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper we'll celebrate in a little while. First, look here in our scripture lesson, verse 14. It says, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." After his time in the wilderness, being tempted by Satan, and overcoming that and gaining strength from the struggle, Jesus comes into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And what is the content of that good news? It consists of three parts. One, the time is fulfilled. Two, the kingdom of God has come near. And three, repent and believe in the good news. The time is fulfilled just means that the world and its history are not random. The earth hasn't just been spinning on its axis in front of an absent God. God had a plan. God had a specific timetable for that plan. And now the time is fulfilled to implement the plan. It is the moment in God's plan for the redemption of the world. The kingdom of God, which had formerly been way off and distant, has now come pressingly near. And the result of those two things, Jesus gives us a command. Because the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has grown near, because of that, repent and believe the good news. Now, repentance is something that we Christians are enjoined to do from time to time. We confess our sins and we make a change. We turn around and head in a different direction. And a lot of us have heard so much about repentance in our lives that it's hard to really understand and respond to that word anymore. What we need to remember is that repentance is not feeling miserable over our sins or regretting that we haven't been more religious. To repent is to turn our minds Godward. To turn our minds Godward. I like that. In this Lenten season of pandemic, there are plenty of other things to occupy our minds. Our health, for one. Our loved ones' health. Our kids' education. What's going to happen to our job. The divisions in our country. Our finances. How long will it be before the economy gets going again? Shall I continue? We have a lot of other things that than God that we're thinking about. So part of the message of Jesus to us right now is for us to consciously turn our minds Godward, to recognize that our lives are in God's hands and that we are covered by God's love. And that brings me to a translation of Jesus' command here that I really like. If you go to the Greek version of the Gospel of Mark, the phrase "repent and believe in the good news" can very easily be translated, "refocus and trust the good news." Think about that for a minute. The imperative verb becomes refocus. What are you focused on these days? Probably not on God's goodness toward you or God's protection and care. So follow Jesus' command and use the season of Lent as a time to refocus on God and God's love and care for you. Look deeply and clearly at your relationship with God. Just like any other friendship, your friendship with God needs an investment of time. You need to converse with your friend, right? Which is prayer. And you need to listen to what your friend is saying to you. It's a two-way street. You talk and God talks. And the way we hear God talking primarily is through reading His Word, the Bible. So maybe the thing we need to do this Lenten season, instead of giving things up, is to refocus on God. And also, what's the second part? To trust the good news. Trust that God has the whole world in His hands. That this is my Father's world. That the God of the sparrow is your God too. Trust that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Trust that the kingdom of God is near and that the power of love has broken through and broken down the power of hatred and prejudice and contempt. Trust that the truth will prevail over lies. Okay, so that's the first thing I want us to see today, that the message Jesus brought out of the wilderness is a message we can follow during Lent. Refocus and trust the good news. The second thing I want us to see is in this meal we're about to share, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. For me, it is the ultimate proof of how much God loves us, that Almighty God would be so humble as to take the form of dust. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. God became dust. God became human. Emmanuel, God with us. God loved the world so much, He gave His only begotten Son. And Jesus endured betrayal and torture and suffering and death and gave up His life for our sins. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. And that is what this meal demonstrates. God's love is what communion brings into focus. In a minute, I'm going to read you this really great quote from Nadia Bolz-Weber, that she wrote about Ash Wednesday, and But right now, I just want to give you her closing line, which is really awesome. She says, "We belong to God, and there is no sin, no darkness, and yes, no grave that God will not come to find us in and love us back to life." Let's refocus on that good news. We belong to God, and there is no sin, no darkness, and yes, no grave that God will not come to find us in and love us back to life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is what this communion means today. So there's grace here. But there's also a challenge. The grace is that this meal will actually strengthen our spirits, very much like the bread and the juice or whatever you're taking at home, like that nourishes your body. Whatever God is calling you to do, this meal will equip you to do it. And the challenge is this. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. You need to refocus. Refocus and trust the good news that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for you. And the Holy Spirit today and this sacrament, this meal, will give you the power to deepen your faith as we go through this season of Lent together. So now to close, here's the full quote from Nadia Bolz-Weber and the wonderful image she had for Ash Wednesday. She imagines a long piece of cloth that on one end begins with our baptism in the past, and on the other end finishes with our funeral in the future, and that Ash Wednesday is when you bring both ends up to touch each other. And she says, "The water and words from our baptism, plus the earth and words from our funeral, have come from the past and the future to meet us in the present. And in that meeting, we are reminded of the promises of God, that we are God's, that there is no sin, no darkness, and yes, no grave, that God will not come to find us in and love us back to life. These promises outlast our earthly bodies and the limits of time." So, hear what Jesus says to us today, this first Sunday in Lent. "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has drawn near. Refocus and trust the good news." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us trust you today. Help us trust in your goodness, in your plan for us, in our relationship with you. By the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to refocus on you and trust in your amazing love that finds us in our sin or in our darkness or even in our grave. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, who gave his life that we might live.